You're listening to Eagle Wings Online Radio, your messianic Christian music alternative.
Like what we do? Share this on your socials and tell everyone.
We hope you get blessed by this narrated sermon podcast from Pastor Chris.
Title: Sowing Seeds. Sowing Seeds. Isaiah's prophetic ministry, which spanned approximately 40 years from 740 BC to 701 BC, is the longest of all the prophetic voices in Scripture. The book of Isaiah stands out as the most extensive prophetic text, and it remains my personal favorite among the prophetic books. In fact, many of the studies I have conducted have begun with the writings of Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 55, verses 8 to 13, King James Version. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain cometh down, and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower, and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. For ye shall go out with joy, and be led forth with peace. The mountains and the hills shall break forth before you into singing, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. Instead of the thorn shall come up the fir tree, and instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle tree. And it shall be to the Lord for a name, for an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off. Here, God is speaking to those who are in exile. However, this message is also for those who are spiritually in exile at this moment, lost and yearning for redemption. God is announcing His word, the living water that is Christ, and the everlasting peace that only He can provide through Jesus Christ. Micah. Little is known about the personal life of the prophet Micah. He hailed from a town called Moreshet, which is why he was referred to as Morashti. He lived during the reign of King Jotham of Judah, and his ministry spanned the reigns of successive kings, approximately 150 years before the destruction of Jerusalem by the Babylonian Empire. The name Micah is a shortened version of Micaiah, meaning, "who is like unto the Lord." This longer version of his name appears in Jeremiah chapter 26, verse 18. Micah's prophetic ministry covered a significant period, beginning in the reign of King Jotham around 750 BC and continuing into the reign of King Hezekiah, which ended in 686 BC. It is noteworthy that Micah and Isaiah were contemporaries, preaching during the same period alongside other prophets like Hosea and Amos. Some scholars even suggest that Micah may have been a student of Isaiah. There are undeniable similarities between Isaiah chapter 2, verses 2 to 4, and Micah chapter 4, verses 1 to 3, although there are notable differences. Micah was a country prophet, while Isaiah was a city-born prophet with strong connections to the royal courts of Jerusalem. Coincidence is not something I believe in. What I believe in is God-sidance. When we recognize that the Word of God is inspired by the Ruach HaKodesh, Holy Spirit, we understand that parallels in Scripture are not by chance, but by divine design. Just as Isaiah prophesies the coming Savior for both Jews and Gentiles, so does Micah in his writings. Micah chapter 4, verses 2 to 4, King James Version. And many nations shall come and say, "Come, and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, and to the house of the God of Jacob, and he will teach us of his ways, and we will walk in his paths. For the law shall go forth of Zion, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. And he shall judge among many people, and rebuke strong nations afar off. And they shall beat their swords into plowshares, and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up a sword against nation, neither shall they learn war any more. but they shall sit every man under his vine and under his fig tree, and none shall make them afraid. For the mouth of the Lord of hosts hath spoken it." Together, these prophets present a complete vision of what is to come. They speak of the New Jerusalem, of God reigning from Jerusalem, of the thousand-year reign of Christ, and of eternity in the New Jerusalem. Both Micah and Isaiah foretell that the Jewish people will leave their place of exile and return home. Many of us today are like the Jews in exile. We cling to what is familiar, even when it causes us pain. The fear of the unknown often overshadows the promise of what lies ahead. It is crucial that we help others understand the importance of moving toward the Lord, of dwelling in His presence, and of drinking from the living water. Revelation chapter 22, verses 1 to 5, New International Version, 1984. "Then the angel showed me the river of the water of life, as clear as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb down the middle of the great street of the city. On each side of the river stood the tree of life, bearing 12 crops of fruit, yielding its fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree are for the healing of the nations. No longer will there be any curse. The throne of God and of the Lamb will be in the city, and His servants will serve Him. They will see His face, and His name will be on their foreheads. There will be no more night. They will not need the light of a lamp or the light of the sun, for the Lord God will give them light, and they will reign forever and ever." Revelation chapter 22, verses 16 to 17, New International Version, 1984. "I, Jesus, have sent my angel to give you this testimony for the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David and the bright morning star. The Spirit and the bride say, 'Come.' And let him who hears say, 'Come.' Whoever is thirsty, let him come. And whoever wishes, let him take the free gift of the water of life." Jesus speaks to us not only through straightforward words, but also through physical signs. As we read in Matthew chapter 13, His parables reveal the spiritual truths of the kingdom of God. When you tend a garden, you may find that some plants flourish while others do not. Sometimes, beneath the surface, there are hidden rocks that prevent growth. In the same way, hearts can be hardened, filled with obstacles that resist God's word. Matthew chapter 13, verses 2 to 10, King James Version. "And great multitudes were gathered together unto him, so that he went into a ship and sat. And the whole multitude stood on the shore. And he spake many things unto them in parables, saying, 'Behold, a sower went forth to sow. And when he sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them up. Some fell upon stony places, where they had not much earth, and forthwith they sprung up, because they had no deepness of earth. And when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprung up and choked them. But other fell into good ground, and brought forth fruit, some an hundredfold, some 60-fold, some 30-fold. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear. And the disciples came and said unto him, 'Why speakest thou unto them in parables?'" In the last 50 years, Christians have not done a sufficient job preparing the soil for the Word of God. Many governments have moved further away from God, creating a hostile environment for Christ's teachings. Policies that promote the destruction of life, such as abortion or the normalization of sexual perversion, work to remove God from the public sphere. What remains is a world rooted in secular humanism, rather than the Judeo-Christian values upon which many nations, including the United States, were founded. Our failure to defend Christian principles has led to a world where we hesitate to proclaim Christ's truth. In Matthew chapter 13, our Lord urges us to ensure that we are sowing our efforts and faith in the right place. The fields must be worked. When we encounter hearts that are filled with rocks, we must work the soil and clear those rocks. If you have a co-worker with a hard-end heart, work the field and clear the rocks. If you see a child whose heart is burdened, help till that soil. And when you encounter your brothers and sisters in Christ, whether at home or in church, work the fields and clear the obstacles, guiding them to the living water that flows freely in Jesus Christ, the same living water spoken of by Micah and Isaiah. The world today is filled with distractions that can lead Christians away from focusing on the spiritual truths that Christ has given us. Through various forms of media, advertising, and even false teachings, many have grown complacent in their faith, and as a result, the soil of their hearts has not been properly prepared to receive God's word. It is not enough to simply scatter seed on the surface. We must actively cultivate the ground, removing the obstacles that hinder the growth of faith. This responsibility falls not only on individual believers, but also on the collective body of Christ, the church. One of the great challenges we face in modern Christianity is the misappropriation of funds and resources, often justified by manipulative appeals. Organizations resort to tactics that play on emotions, utilizing strategies that prioritize material gains over genuine spiritual transformation. This has led to disillusionment among many believers, making it difficult for them to discern what is truly God's will when it comes to giving. As followers of Christ, we must seek to align our giving and resources with the true work of the kingdom, sowing seeds that will bear eternal fruit, not simply fulfilling earthly agendas. Moreover, the concept of giving should extend beyond financial contributions. While monetary support is essential to many ministries, it is also important to understand that sowing seeds of love, service, and spiritual encouragement can have a profound impact. Just as the sower in Matthew chapter 13 was not selective in where he cast his seeds, we too should spread the message of Christ indiscriminately, allowing God to determine where it will take root and flourish. Our role is to be faithful in the planting, trusting God to bring the increase. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 7 to 13, Amplified Bible. Let each one give as he has made up his own mind and purposed in his heart, not reluctantly or sorrowfully or under compulsion. For God loves, he takes pleasure in, prizes above other things, and is unwilling to abandon or to do without a cheerful, joyous, prompt to do it, giver whose heart is in his giving. And God is able to make all grace, every favor and earthly blessing, come to you in abundance, so that you may always and under all circumstances and whatever the need be, self-sufficient, possessing enough to require no aid or support, and furnished in abundance for every good work and charitable donation. As it is written, he, the benevolent person, scatters abroad. He gives to the poor. His deeds of justice and goodness and kindness and benevolence will go on and endure forever. And God, who provides seed for the sower and bread for eating, will also provide and multiply your resources for sowing and increase the fruits of your righteousness, which manifest itself in active goodness, kindness, and charity. Thus you will be enriched in all things and in every way, so that you can be generous, and your generosity as it is administered by us will bring forth thanksgiving to God. For the service that the ministering of this fund renders does not only fully supply what is lacking to the saints, God's people, but it also overflows in many cries of thanksgiving to God. Because at your standing of the test of this ministry, they will glorify God for your loyalty and obedience to the gospel of Christ, which you confess, as well as for your generous-hearted liberality to them and to all the other needy ones. The scriptures make it clear that God will provide the increase when we faithfully sow. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 7 to 13 reminds us that the Lord loves a cheerful giver and that he multiplies what is given in righteousness. This applies not only to finances, but also to our time, our talents, and our testimony. We are called to be generous in every area of our lives, reflecting the heart of Christ, who gave everything for us. As we move forward in faith, let us commit to being diligent in preparing the soil, both in our own hearts and in the hearts of others. Whether through giving, serving, or simply sharing the love of Christ, we must be intentional in our efforts to cultivate spiritual growth. By doing so, we fulfill our part in the divine plan, trusting God to bring forth the harvest that will ultimately glorify His name. Encouraging Christians to give cheerfully and responsibly can be a challenge, especially in times of economic hardship. The needs are endless, and many competing voices call for our attention and resources. Countless organizations solicit donations, sometimes relentlessly, and it can be difficult to discern which appeals are genuine. Books and marketing strategies aimed at increasing donations are prevalent, but they often employ tactics that manipulate emotions or resort to fear-mongering. Some fundraisers go as far as threatening to withhold basic needs, sensationalizing their appeals, or warning of impending doom if funds are not immediately raised. In my opinion, these approaches are not of God, and we should not give in to such tactics. Instead, preparing the soil for sowing begins with listening to the Holy Spirit. For some, it may mean giving financially. For others, it may involve taking 30 minutes each day to read the Word of God. Still, for others, it may involve reaching out to someone with a word of love, steering the conversation toward Jesus and sharing His love with them. Examine your own heart. Where is God's seed falling? Examine your surroundings. Where are you sowing the Word of God? Is the soil in need of work? Pick up your shovel. Is there danger? Pick up your sword, the Word of God, and defend what belongs to the Lord. Amen.
Be sure to share the podcast on your favorite social media channels.